Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 63. Podcast at sightandsound.co.uk is the email address. If you want to get in touch with us, we always love to hear from you. Great to be back for another show. And it's a show that I'm really looking forward to, because coming up today, Mike Calvo and Matt Campbell from Numa Solutions are back. It's always a great chat with these guys, but today they're talking about the new version of RIM, that's a remote incident manager for accessible remote control of Windows computers. You don't want to miss this. Stay right where you are. It's up in just a sec. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, if you can cast your mind back to episode 35, which aired in February of last year, that's 2021, you may remember that we had a really nice time hanging out with Matt Campbell and Mike Calvo from Numa Solutions. At the time, those guys were launching Scribe for Meetings, and Numa Solutions are always coming up with new and exciting innovations. Well, they've just launched something called RIM, the Remote Incident Manager, that allows somebody who's blind or sighted to take full control of a computer, be that computer sitting right beside you or on the other side of the world. I've been lucky enough to be beta testing this for the last few months. It is incredible technology, and I'm so glad that the guys have taken the time to join us again. Mike and Matt, welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. I can't believe it's been that long. My goodness.
I know.
How it flies when you're developing software and getting back to normal.
So we will go to RIM in a sec, because I really think, and Mike, I hope you'll forgive me for saying, I think the Scribe stuff is fantastic, but this is a little bit more exciting for me personally, and I think maybe for lots of users. And that's not to take away from anything that you guys have been doing up to now. How, just very briefly maybe, how has the last time you left us, you were just introducing Scribe for Meetings, how's that going?
So Scribe for Meetings and even Scribe for Documents, we consider them to be revolutionary products, but we understand. We thought Scribe for Meetings was going to be just like a, you know, out of the park. Oh my goodness, wow, this problem I've been having for years and years with meetings and with, you know, attending meetings is solved. But no, it's actually kind of been a little uphill, because, you know, a lot of people got their situation worked out, their process in place. And it's hard to get a company, once you've gotten them to do things a certain way for you as a blind employee, it's hard for them to kind of change things out. So we've had our challenges, but we've added teams as well. And the product is moving. Interestingly enough, with RIM, which is a regular problem that everybody has, which is accessible remote solutions for support and training, everybody jumps on that. Matt and I have been laughing, because in the 20 some odd years or 20 years that Matt and I have been working together, this is the product that has probably gotten the most buzz, I guess. I mean, after maybe SA to Go or something like that, where I think of SA to Go back in the Serotech days was revolutionary as heck. But this is, I think that as we progress and talk about what we're doing at RIM, you're going to kind of understand a little bit more about what we want to do as a company, and where we don't say, well, you know, Scribe for Meetings isn't working, so screw that, we're going to throw it out, we're going to throw all our money into RIM. Oh, Scribe for, you know, Documents isn't working, screw that, we're going to throw all our money into, you know, RIM or whatever. We are giving them all love, we're keeping them updated, and we understand, we both, Matt and I, are pioneers in the AT industry, especially when it comes to online and cloud services. So we understand that, you know, sometimes you got to get the machete, the hatchet, and just get in there and start cutting down trees and making a path. And whether we benefit from that path as leaders and pioneers, or we just set the standard as we've done for others, for example, podcasts. When we started doing podcasts way back in the day, we started way back. And now look at how many podcasts we have as a community. So we're excited, we're honored, we're frustrated, you know, okay, all the good stuff that happens when you're trying to develop stuff and make things happen in a community.
Okay, good. But basically, I think to sort of summarize that, you guys have been really busy since the last time we talked, clearly. And if you weren't busy enough already, you took on a rewrite of your previously released RIM, Remote Incident Manager. I've heard lots of references to old RIM. I never used old RIM, so I've only been aware of RIM since the beta. So Matt, maybe is it worth just maybe explaining what RIM is and what was old RIM, and maybe why did you do this whole write-up from the ground?
Why did you do it, Matt?
Why did you do it, Matt?
Sure. So RIM began its history back in 2006. It started as a feature of system access, and what went through various names and it was called the System Access Mobile Network for a long time, and ultimately came to be called Cero. But this feature in System Access allowed any user of our screen reader and our online community to connect to any other user of that community to provide remote technical support by connecting to that other user's computer. And once we got that feature out there back in 2006, we realized that there was a much broader need for accessible remote support and training for blind IT professionals in general. So we developed RIM and put it out in 2007. It got some moderate usage, and it had some interesting features like reboot and reconnect, and the ability to support blind people running any screen reader on their own machine, as well as the ability to support sighted people that weren't running a screen reader by basically running a version of our System Access product behind the scenes. But as System Access, the screen reader, kind of became a lower priority in our ongoing development, and as underlying technologies such as how to connect the two computers and how to do screen capture and how to capture audio, as those underlying technologies changed, the original RIM product got pretty long in the tooth, and we decided that we needed to overhaul it, to modernize it, to rebuild it based on current technologies. And one of the things that we decided early on was that what we now call our remote accessibility module for supporting a sighted user who's not running a screen reader would be based on the NVDA screen reader this time around. So we did that. We redid the way that we established the remote connection from the ground up using modern peer-to-peer technology. So it's lower latency. The screen capture and audio capture are based on modern standards, and it's just a whole new product from the ground up that we think being based on modern standards will be a good foundation for a long time to come.
I think one of the really interesting things, Matt, and you've hit on it there a moment ago, is this idea of being able to control a machine that doesn't have a screen reader. And that was something that I hadn't done up until I started the beta testing. It's very liberating to just sort of jump onto any machine that never has had a screen reader, that might never have a screen reader because it doesn't have a need for one. Is that a big thing that people have been sort of saying to you?
I think it's not so much that people have been saying that. It's just, I mean, we get it. You know, most products come to market not because people say, man, I wish there was this. It's just somebody wakes up one day and says, you know, maybe I should do this and see how it works in the market. We saw RIM, the original RIM, how it worked and how it was received. And, you know, it's not the first time Matt and I hear the terms walk up to any computer and dot, 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 you know, whatever that is that we are doing at the time, whether it's SA2Go or RIM, you can walk up to any PC and, you know, run it and connect with people remotely in a fully accessible way. And now with RIM, not only does it work for blind folks, but it works for sighted people. So it really allows us as blind IT professionals to be a part of the conversation, to have the dignity, to have the respect, to maintain our blindness anonymity. Not that any of us are embarrassed about being blind, but if I'm there to work on your machine, man, I'm not there to have you, you know, if I'm the first blind person you ever met, I'll be happy to have a discussion with you after I'm productive, after I'm done doing what I'm paid to do. But I don't want that to be the star of the show. It's not amazing that I woke up this morning, got dressed and went to work. I'm just a tech working on your machine. So I really believe that this and other new products, a level of just of dignity, and that choice of saying, I choose to disclose or I don't choose to disclose. And it also provides a level of inclusion for companies that have wanted to do something for their blind employees where they're on a level playing field, but sometimes have had to modify that IT position just a little bit because so-and-so can't jump onto somebody's PC because the current solution that they're using, an insert solution here, be it TeamViewer or anything else, we've beat up on TeamViewer pretty good. Because, you know, they're on 2 point some odd billion machines. They've been there for years and they absolutely zero rip about accessibility. And that's demonstrated not in their words, but in their actions. I don't know how they feel, don't really care. But I do know that our solution provides that level of inclusion, that level of self-respect and self-representation that says, hey, I can do this. And guess what? Sighted colleague, so can you, and we can use the same technology. And that to me is probably the most exciting thing. We can talk about, you know, nerdy, geeky features, but when it comes to the human interest, and inclusion is a big thing these days, you know, people being able to do things their way is a real big deal. And we are proud to be able to say that this is a product for us, by us, that happens. It's ironic, but normally things are done for sighted folks and then they kind of bolt our stuff on the side. And with this, we've taken not only blind folks, but sighted folks into consideration from day one on this rewrite.
Okay. Now, can you just maybe staying on the theme of kind of spreading the word and that whole sighted and blind as one, how do you have a conversation, or how do you persuade or encourage, let's say, big corporates to use something like this? So you mentioned TeamViewer already. Lots of big organizations have their own remote support solution that they may have been using for years. There is a need, obviously, to educate and inform people about RIM, and that this is, you know, there's going to be benefits for all sorts of reasons, most primarily from our perspective, that there are people who may be visually impaired who can get work from this kind of stuff. How do you have that conversation with the big companies who may be somewhat reluctant to get this stuff into their
Yeah, so let me be candid, and I don't want there to ever be any misunderstanding as to what I say, because I'm a lover, not a fighter. I mean, yes, I have very strong opinions, and people that know me personally and privately and even on podcasts like this, I'm very outspoken. But at the same time, I prefer logic over just, you know, the big stick. So let's begin, though, by saying it's the law in Europe, the law in the United States, the law in any developed country out there, that if there is an accessible solution out there and it is a reasonable accommodation, and reasonable is up to interpretation, I understand, then a company should do that. Because if you're being paid by that company, it's not a charity. You have an investment in you. And just part of that investment includes the technology that you use at work every day. And to that end, we've done two things. First of all, we provide RIM as it is. And that means that you've got our client, our infrastructure, everything that you want from us. We also have packaged RIM in a couple of different options, one of them being an on-prem solution. So if you need to do something on-premises, another one being a private cloud solution, if you need to, if you have a private cloud or a government cloud type solution. The other one, of course, is our public cloud. But as exciting, if let's say you've got a solution that your company uses and they've got, you know, 3,000 support people that are using it. Well, you can't just switch 3,000 support people over to this thing because this one or two or five or 10 or even 100 blind folks, it works for them. That's stupid. That for us to think that a company's going to do that, I mean, it would be great. But, you know, the real world we live in, especially with inflation and all that where it is, no, it's not going to happen. So, at least not as quickly as we would like it to. So what we've done is we've developed a way for a company to encourage their remote support operator, be it, again, be it TeamViewer, be it Bongar, be it whoever, to contact us and license the accessibility module from us. And we will license it to them, and they can then include that particular part of it. Now, you're not going to get a lot of the RIM whiz-bang UI features and UX features, but you are going to get the accessibility to the remote machine. And that is, when you take everything away, that's the most important part of this whole thing.
Okay. So people can kind of, as from my understanding, talk to their own provider of the remote solution, whoever that provider may be, and maybe encourage that provider to reach out to you guys.
Oh, sure. I mean, we're more than willing to open up a conversation with anybody. We don't want to be the exclusive provider of accessible remote solutions. That's not what we want to do. What we are is, like Serotech before us, we are a technology company. In other words, we're going to develop a technology, we're going to show how it works and see if the marketplace adopts it and says, yeah, we'll license that. And hopefully, hey, you know what? I mean, if one day, you know, name your remote solution or technology somewhere, we'll get absorbed by a bigger company, or RIM won't be as significant, but the technology will. We don't care. We're blind people first. We just want to see our community move forward and be included in the conversation, no matter at what level and where that conversation takes place.
Okay. Matt, can you maybe take us through the user journey, maybe from both ends, from the controller and the target, because the target is obviously just maybe installing something on their machine and then forgetting about it. How will that work?
Sure. So I'll start with the controller. That is the person providing remote technical support or training or just connecting to a remote machine for whatever reason. So they start by going to getrim.app and downloading our app. It's a standard Windows .exe installer that you typically use to install a Windows desktop application. And it's the same installer for both sides of the connection. So yes, as you hinted, the first step for the target user being supported is also to download that installer, at least in the simplest case. There's a more advanced case that we can get to in a bit. So the controller downloads and runs the installer. And when you run the installer, it just installs RIM automatically with no fuss. I mean, you have to answer a Windows user account control prompt, but that's pretty standard. And then once it's installed, RIM comes up on the receive remote help screen, because we want to make things super easy for the target user who's receiving support, who might not be very proficient with computers to begin with. So it starts on that screen. So the controller tabs to or clicks, if they're sighted, a button called provide help instead. And at this point, the controller logs in to their RIM account and creates one if they don't have one yet. Logging in just means entering your email address, verifying that email address with a code that gets sent to you. And then during the initial setup, you enter some basic information about yourself, including your mobile phone number, which you then verify through a text message. and you're done. You have your RIM account, which initially has access to the free tier of our service. And we can get to pricing options in a bit. But to help your target user, the simplest way to do it is for the controller to come up with a keyword, which can be anything from a single letter to a full word, could even be a phrase if you wanted. And the keyword just has to be unique to you for the time that you're getting the session started. So choose something that works for both you and your target user. You, as the controller, enter the keyword first, and RIM lets you know if it's already taken and you need to try again. Assuming it's not taken, you then tell your target user to enter the keyword, that same keyword, and then as soon as they do, you're connected.
You're rarely gonna have the same word. I mean, if we said, for example, Stuart or just Stu, and then how long? You know, if I told you, okay, I'm gonna type it in right here, Stu. Okay, type it on your side. Boom, you type it in. That's it. If somebody else wants to use Stu, they can use it.
Okay.
There's no way, and we've been using that methodology for 15
years. Yes.
That was one of the coolest features that original RIM had, was the keyword thing. Because I mean, anybody that's listened to this podcast that's visually impaired knows the hell, literally the hell, of going through TeamViewer or anybody to get those numbers, especially if you're using like Ira or something like that. It is just absolutely mind-blowing. Did it say M? Did it say N? What did it say? You know, and so that,
how do I read character by character in my screen reader on a static text field?
So somebody connects, your controller connects, has full access to your machine, but can also go back to their machine to do things, can even do the reboot and reconnect, which is really handy. And Matt, you have unattended access, which is a fantastic feature.
Yes. So this allows you, with the permission of the target user, to connect to their machine anytime, day or night, without them having to be around. You can also use it to connect to one of your own machines. If say you want to connect to your office machine while you're at home or on the road. So there are a few different ways to set up unattended access. One, if you've already started a session with somebody using the keyword-based flow that we just described, then while you're on their machine, you can request unattended access. It'll ask them for permission. They answer yes, and you're all set. If you have access to the machine, that if you have physical access to the machine that you want to connect to, then you can install RIM on that machine. And while you're there, you can just go in and directly register it with your RIM account. And it's all set for when you leave.
Hey, Stuart, I got a question for you. Are you tech support for your family?
Yes, frequently. Frequently.
Aren't we all?
So that's why I love this idea of no screen, of no screen reader.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, so the way that our personal plans work, because we've got personal, pro, and enterprise, and you're going to want to come back to that because they're different pricing tiers and they get a little confusing. We promise we wrote them out too. But the personal thing is the coolest, because you can, like, if you support your mom's computer and if you support your dad's computer, you can make all these part of a little network that you just jump on and you pick from a list. And bam, you're on their machine. And if they have no screen reader, you hit, you know, you can run our accessibility module and they'll never hear the TTS from it. Mm-hmm. If you don't care about them hearing the TTS, you can run any screen reader, including Narrator, on the remote machine if you want. So again, you have the audio, and they're notified that somebody's on the machine when you're there. They can terminate your connection at any time. They can revoke your access to their machine at any time. So it's not like you're there, ha ha ha, you know. But it is great for those of us who are constantly being asked, hey, bro, can you get onto my machine? And sure. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Can I talk about the third unattended option? Yeah. So this is for pro and above. I think this option is really slick, and I know that some of our beta testers and early adopters agree. And this is the ability to create a customized installer that is pre-configured to automatically register the machine for unattended access through your RIM account. And it's really simple. You choose to create an installer for unattended access. You enter a name for the group of machines that you're going to deploy this installer onto, and then RIM does its magic, customizing the installer and returns a link to the customized installer. And you can either grab the installer from that link and share the file as you see fit, or you can just share the link directly with however many people you want to give this installer to. And then when they run the installer, it will pop up a confirmation dialogue that says, this will allow so-and-so to remotely access your machine at any time. Do you want to allow this? And we do the confirmation dialogue as a precaution to prevent abuse. If you've ever been called by any of these scammers that pretend to be Windows support and they want to get on your machine using something like TeamViewer, we obviously are very concerned about the possibility of being used in that kind of scam. So we prevent that abuse in any way we can. But other than the confirmation dialogue, it's just run the installer on the target machine and it's all set. And the target user who ran the installer doesn't have to do anything else to get their machine set up for unattended access. And for RIM Enterprise customers, you don't even have to have the confirmation dialogue. You can run the installer in silent mode and it will just automatically install and register itself. And that means that enterprise customers can use a number of different methods to mass deploy RIM onto however many machines they've got.
The other thing, I think, kind of along this line, when you mentioned servers, did I read during the beta somewhere, and I didn't try this, that you can even run this thing on a machine that doesn't have a sound card?
Yes.
Yes, and you can still run the remote accessibility module and get your screen reader access.
One of the things that we're going to do eventually is we are working with the sound. So we're actually going to have a virtual sound card that will be available on the server. So if you wanted to run Narrator on the server for whatever reason, which you can't do right now, you'll be able to. So it's just one of those fun byproducts. But running this thing on a server as RIM as compared to RDP is just night and day.
Now, I do want to come to pricing in a sec. I one of the things I've observed about the pricing is that I don't know that you guys could have been fairer, both in the prices you're charging per tier or in the amount of options you've given, you know, depending on what people want, including the day passes, which are really handy. Do you want to start maybe on day passes, Mike, and go from there?
Sure. Well, let's start with the free one.
Oh yes. Okay.
People always like
free. Right. There is free.
And okay. So remember, the only people that ever pay are controllers that are part of, you know, that are part of a subscription or part of a day pass. A target, the person being accessed, never pays a penny to us. The only targets that we charge for are the ones that are part of personal accounts. And those aren't keyword sessions. Those are basically unattended sessions. So, you know, make notes, Stuart, there'll be a test at the end.
Okay.
But it does get confusing. So targets are always free. Controllers can either, we can start for free at 30 minutes a day, and you can connect to as many people to your heart's content that you want to in a day. And it's half an hour. And that means that you break it down per session. So if you sit there and you connect to three people and you spend 10 minutes with each one, there you're done. Or if you spend half an hour with one, you're done for the day. Now, let's say you jumped onto somebody's machine and you didn't, that wasn't enough for you. You needed to fix their machine. And it was just that one person. You would do what we would call get an incident pass. An incident is just one machine for a 24-hour period. The controller can log on to that machine as many times as he wants and work with that machine in a 24-hour period from the first time that they launched. So that if I connected to you at 8 o'clock in the morning, I've got until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to do all the work that I need to do on your machine alone. If I have, let's say I'm a guy who I'm out during the week, but on Fridays, I have four different clients that I support, or three different clients that I support. I would go in and I would buy a day pass, and that would allow me to control as many people as I wanted in a day. But again, from the first launch. So if I start at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning, I have unlimited usage of that day pass until 24 hours from the first time I connected to a machine. And incident passes and day passes are $10 and $20 respectively. Then the next tier, and I'm not going to touch on the personal stuff yet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move up to pro, because it's sticking to one kind of connection, which is the keyword type of thing. The next step up is for your computer professional. This is the person that is actually out there connecting to different people. Could be, 100, could be 1,000, whatever it is. You have unlimited targets, and that's $99 a month or $1,000 a year, basically $999 a year. And that's unlimited use of our public cloud service. By the way, one thing we have mentioned, and that is latency, and all of our connections are, as we've tested, at a maximum of 99 milliseconds when all things are running well. So you're going to get real, real good throughput. And that's a big difference between us and something like a Tandem, where your packets, for example, they're in Ireland, are going all the way to Florida and then coming back to Ireland for somebody in Ireland to support somebody in Ireland. Yeah. So we do local, and that's all included in these prices. We have a number of regional relays that we can go over. But that's $99 a month or $999 a year. And then we get into enterprise, and that's where it gets a little confusing. And I'm just going to say those start basically with an unlimited number of targets, unlimited number of controllers. And the way we price that is per channel, per session going on concurrently. So if you have 20 support people, they can do up to 10 channels at basically for $5,000 a year.
Will you tell us about the personal plan, the $999 per month? This is the person who's their tech support, family tech support. Is that type of person?
Sure. So the personal plan starts at $9.95 a month or $99 a year. And that is and all of the personal plans are for a single controller. And you can start at that base price is for one target machine. So like if you have one other machine of your own, say that you want to connect to, that's where you would start. And you can go all the way up to 10 targets. And it's basically an additional $5 per month or 50 per year for each additional target. And if I didn't mention it already, the personal plan is for unattended sessions only. So this is where you would install RIM on the target machine and then register it with your account as an unattended machine. Any keyword sessions that you do would fall back to either the free tier or an incident pass or day pass if you have one. But the personal plan is intended for supporting family members and for connecting to your own computers.
Okay, guys, there's loads that we've covered there, and I really, really strongly encourage people just go and use this thing. It is absolutely fantastic. It is life-changing. Just in so much as you're comfortable, I suppose, I'll preface this by saying, in so much as you're comfortable, can you share anything with us about the future? One thing I was going to mention was platform availability. This is Windows only at the moment. Is there thoughts around expanding that?
Yes. So there's a couple things. So first of all, Mac is definitely on our roadmap. There's a couple of challenges with Mac that we are trying to work out with Apple. We're trying to, and it's very difficult to get to Apple sometimes, even through back channels. Apple is very responsive though, and I think that our message of inclusion and dignity will resound very well with Apple. And the reason that we haven't done anything with Mac yet is quite frankly because I can't, as a blind person, I can't jump onto a sighted person's Mac and run a VoiceOver over there without them seeing it, without them knowing that I'm running, and making it a topic of conversation. I mean, there are other challenges to doing a Mac-based remote support tool, but they're no different for us than be for TeamView or anybody else, with all the permissions and all that crap that you need to do. But so that is the big showstopper, is getting the ability to turn off the AT on the other side and maintain the technician's anonymity as to their ability to the requirement to disclose their visual impairment to the remote, to the target. Everybody talks about remote for phones and stuff. And, I've talked to so many technicians as we've researched this and everybody's like, yeah, we offer it, we have it, but it's just, we don't use it, And if we do use it, basically all you're doing is you're looking at the same screen as the target and you're saying, okay, click here, click there. You don't get on any of these platforms, with the exception of Android, maybe. And Android is just not a big thing. It's a thing, but it's not the biggest thing in our community for remote support. So we're not in a hurry to go mobile, but it's certainly something that we would look at. I think our next big thing though is going to be session recording. And that is going to be a big deal. And I don't know if it's going to be out in this cycle or next cycle, but it will be out soon. And that will be the ability to actually record, because we provide a full voiceover IP session, just like the one we're doing now over Zoom. We actually provide a very similar sounding, actually clearer, because we provide stereo sound. So if I'm working with you and I want to show you something on my machine, I can literally play it on the session and you can hear it in stereo. But session recording is going to be great for when you are doing a training session and you just want that person to be able to go back and see exactly what happened. If you're an employer and you want to record the sessions of your technicians, you can do that. And we can archive them for you, and they'll be packaging around, uploading those to the cloud and storage and all that. And that stuff still has yet to be announced. But those are really the big. We've got Braille coming for our deafblind technicians, so you'll be able to connect. And that's another one with the inclusion and the dignity. Is imagine being able to communicate via text chat and Braille with a totally blind and deaf IT professional. I mean, imagine that. That's just amazing to us. And something that we will be adding in. And that will all be part of the accessibility module that will be available for licensing from third parties.
Guys, on that note, we'll wrap it up and say thank you to you both. It's so nice to kind of catch up with you both again. I'm kind of interested to know what will happen next time we talk, what you'll be bringing to us. But thank you for joining us. Continued success. I can't talk highly enough about it. So I hope everyone goes and tests it out and actually purchases it as well, of course. And very finally then, guys, before we go, just give us a reminder again of the website and where everybody can go and grab this thing.
Sure. All things Pneuma, RIM and Scribe for Meetings and Cero and all kinds of fun stuff can all be found at the Pneuma Solutions website, www.pneumasolutions.com. That's P as in Pneuma, N-E-U-M-A solutions.com. If you want to jump straight to the RIM solution, you can bypass the website and go to getrim.app. Memorize that email, that address, because people are going to be using it a lot anyway, but getrim.app will take you direct to the RIM information. The other will take you direct to our website.
Okay.
Subscribe to our blog and all that stuff.
Brilliant. Mike and Matt, thank you so much. It's always great to catch up with you both. Always have something innovative and exciting to share, and I'm kind of wondering when we do it next and what you love to share, but it's a great application. It's a really, it's a game changer. So I hope everybody goes and tries it out. For the moment, thanks for joining us and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Mike Calvo and Matt Campbell. Always enjoy catching up with those guys. They're great crack as well. And we'd a good chat. What you heard, by the way, on that podcast was very much an edited version. We could talk to those guys all day, to be honest. I could sit listening to Mike and Matt and their view of the world all day because it's wonderful. Thanks a million, guys. That's just about it for this edition, but we're back soon. Until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight and Sound Technology, bye. Bye-bye.